This program has been made possible by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.
I'm talking about, do you want God's will in your life? Okay, listen, if you want God's will in your life, then you've got to get His will in your mouth. Ephesians 4, 29. Lord, help us this afternoon in Jesus' name. Let no foul or polluting language nor evil word, nor unwholesome or worthless talk ever come out of your mouth. But only such speech as is good and beneficial to the spiritual progress of others, as is fitting to the need and the occasion, that it might be a blessing and give grace to all those who hear it, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Now, I believe that the things that we say can bless God and put a smile on His face. Or I do believe that when we say things that are harmful and hurtful to either other people or to ourselves, that it does grieve the Holy Spirit. And because the Holy Spirit lives in us, please realize right now that there's not one of you, there's two of you. Jesus lives on the inside of you. And so you're never alone. And if He's grieved, since He lives in you, you're going to feel, and I'm going to feel, that grief. Now, I don't know what you think, but I've kind of learned by experience that I can increase or decrease my own joy just by how I talk. Anybody agree with that? You can just talk yourself into being miserable, or you can actually help yourself and make yourself better. Now, we were talking at the break about how sad it is that so many people know so little about the power of words, and how their words not only affect the people around them, but how they affect themselves, and also how our words affect our future. I believe that we can kill God's good plan for our life just by continual wrong talking. Now, we all say things that are wrong, and thank God for mercy, and He covers us in our mistakes, and we can be forgiven. But to just be a negative person who always finds the fault and the flaw in everything, and always finds what's wrong with people, I mean, it's going to leave you very sour and unhappy. And it's going to really hurt your future. Now, I'm just going to assume that nobody here is like that. But we're just going to call this like an insurance policy today. I just want to preach this message just in case you ever would be tempted to be like that, that maybe you'd remember this. And I was not kidding when I said I was going to preach to myself. You know, I am a talker. And the more people talk, the more likely they are to get into trouble. God has to deal with me frequently about my words. And I've come a long way. But I'll tell you one thing that I never want to be is so satisfied to the point where I don't think that I need to change anymore. Now, anytime that God shows me a fault or a flaw in my life, it does not condemn me. And I want to encourage you, when God shows you things that are wrong in your life or your behavior, or when He chastises you for something, do not let it condemn you. Conviction from the Holy Spirit is a totally different thing than condemnation from Satan. And a lot of times what we do is when the Holy Spirit convicts us, which is a good and a positive thing. And the Bible says that God chastises those whom He loves. When God shows us that we should not do something, or that something we're doing is wrong, it's actually an act of His love. Thank God He won't just leave you alone in your mess and let you stay the same. The worst thing that God could ever do would be just never convict us again and just leave us alone and let us stay the way that we are. But it's a big mistake when the Holy Spirit convicts you to then get condemned, because the moment that you get condemned, you hinder yourself from any kind of change or spiritual growth. So anything I say today is not under condemnation. When God deals with me about things like this, I just take it like, well, I must need this. And there's some areas in our life that we will have to hear over and over and over and over until Jesus comes back to get us. And one of those things is our mind, another one is the mouth, and another one is attitude. Come on, you better get a little happier than that. There's nobody in this building today that doesn't need this. Nobody. God's been dealing with me again about my words. And I'm glad that he does, because no man can tame the tongue. We constantly need God's help. And I don't know about you, but just, I said this morning, but I think if I could ever just get through one whole entire day without complaining at all, it would be a miracle equivalent to the parting of the Red Sea. It is amazing how blessed we are and how much we find to murmur about. And it is really, complaining is a sin. I mean, it's not just an oops. It's actually, the Bible says it's a sin. And if you really study the Bible, and this actually put the fear of God in me. If you really study the Bible, you'll find out that one of the things that kept the Israelites out in the wilderness for 40 years trying to make an 11-day journey was they murmured and grumbled and complained about everything. And you know, the word complain means to remain. So the more we complain about something, the longer we're going to stay in that situation. The more we praise God, the quicker we're going to get raised out of that situation and be delivered. And I might add that the place to start praising God and being thankful is when you're still in the middle of your mess. I've noticed that Jonah, if you read the book of Jonah in the Amplified Bible, it says that he started to praise God while he was still in the fish's belly. And I like that. So his bad attitude got him in that situation. But then the thing that got him out was he started praising God while he was still in the situation, and God caused the fish to vomit him out, and he got free from the situation. So whatever you're going through right now, ask God every day, God, help me not to complain about my situation. Help me to find something to be thankful for. Help me find a reason to praise you. And you know, when you're in relationship with people, it is so easy. I am so good at finding flaws. Oh my gosh, if there's one there, I'll see it. Is anybody else like that? Are you one of those sweet people that just like, oh, I didn't notice that? Well, honey, I notice everything. I mean, how many of you are like that? You just, if it's there, you're going to find it. You don't have to, you know. And you know, to be honest, I'm sure one of the reasons why the enemy does that to me is because of what I'm doing and how important it is that I walk in love and I have the right attitude toward people. Because let me tell you something, we all need God's anointing, and that's his presence and power in our lives. You don't just need an anointing to preach, you need an anointing to drive in traffic and get to work these days. You certainly need an anointing to raise kids. And I believe that God's anointing, his presence, and his power in our life is partially, in part, connected to the words of our mouth. And I just think it's a pitiful shame how little people know about this area. You can be in church 30 years and never hear a message like I'm going to preach to you today. I was in church for years and I never heard anybody say anything to me about the words of my mouth. Nobody talked to me about stuff like that. And maybe there's even people here this afternoon that you're like, this is a first for me. Well, maybe not, but maybe it is. And the thing is, words are containers for power. In the very beginning, God said, and it happened. Now, just like this glass has got some sparkling water in it, it's my glass, and I could put anything on it that I wanted to, in it that I wanted to. I could fill it full of mud if I wanted to. Well, our words are containers for power. And they can carry positive power. They can add benefit to all the people around us and add benefit to our life. Or they can carry negative power that harm us and hurt us. And so I can't think of any message that's more important to hear every once in a while than this one right here, because the mouth literally is like a wild animal. No man can tame the tongue. The Bible says it is just like a wicked evil. It starts all kinds of fires. And it, I mean, you can ruin relationships with words. You can get yourself fired from a good job with words. You can depress yourself with words. You can make yourself happy with words. The Israelites murmured and grumbled and complained. And the Bible says that eventually they let a plague into the camp and 23,000 of them fell dead in one day just because of complaining. Now, I'm not saying if you complain, you're going to fall over dead. That's not what I'm saying. Thank God for that. But I do believe, as good as God is to us, that one of the last things in the world that we should do is complain and murmur. Does anybody have a problem with complaining besides me? A handful of people. I don't know what's wrong with the rest of you, but... And if you're really serious in your relationship with God, then you really want to learn and grow, and you want to do everything that He wants you to do, because the Lord never tells us to do anything if it's not going to be something that's going to make our lives better. And so in my very beginning of my serious walk with God, really, to be honest, before I ever even heard messages about the power of words preached, God started dealing with me as I studied the Bible about being negative. I had grown up in a very negative atmosphere. My father was abusive. He was alcoholic. He was violent. And he just was negative. He just didn't like anybody. He didn't trust anybody. And so just the whole atmosphere in our home was one of negativity. And when you grow up in that, listen, I'm still amazed at how our lives are affected by the first few years of our life. The way we're raised, and that's not saying that we can't overcome it, because in Christ we become new creatures, but sometimes you have to spend a lot of years unlearning what you learned in the first few years of your life. So we're very vulnerable at that time, and it's like soft clay that's being molded. And so many times parents do things to children out of their own weaknesses and faults that then takes those kids, as they become adults, many, many years to try to correct and get over. And I'm sure many of you have found that just like I have. Well, first of all, I didn't even know I was negative. I didn't even know that I was like that. You know, when you are a certain way and that's the way you've always been, you don't even know that you're that way. Well, Dave, on the other hand, is extremely positive. And so we were not married very long, just a few weeks. And he looked at me one day and he said, "What is wrong with you?" Now, I tell all the time, and you've probably heard me say this, you know, Dave and I only had 5 dates and he asked me to marry him. And I, which normally would not be wise, but in our case, I really feel like that if he wouldn't have done it quick, he wouldn't have done it at all. Because I was on my good behavior, but you know, that only lasts so long. And I'm sure before long I would have caved in and he would have thought, "Oh no, I ain't getting into this." And so he just said to me, what is wrong with you?" And I remember to this day what I said to him. I said, "If you don't expect anything good to happen, you won't be disappointed when it don't." So I had a bad case of negativity. And I want to share that with you, because if you're like that, please don't just say, "Well, that's just the way I am." Because we are new creatures in Christ, and we do have a new nature, and we can become Christ-like, and God will help us do that. So God really started dealing with me about not being so negative. And so I really was working with the Holy Spirit, and I felt like I was really doing good, and I felt like that I wasn't saying negative things like I once did, but I didn't feel like anything was changing in my life. And I'm a person who really likes results. I mean, I'll stick with anything if I see a little bit of results, but if I don't get any results, then sometimes I want to throw it away pretty quick. And so I just said, now, Lord, I'm really not being negative. I'm not saying negative things, but I don't see anything changing, and I don't understand why. And I did not know enough to know this, so I know God put this in my heart. He said, well, you've stopped saying negative things, but you haven't started saying anything positive. So I don't really want to just stand here and talk to you all day today about what you shouldn't say. I want to talk to you about what you should say and how you can help yourself and benefit yourself by saying positive things. So God taught me by the Holy Spirit how to start confessing the word of God out loud and calling things that were not yet a reality in my life as if they already existed. Now, just in case you're going to say, oh, don't tell me this is a name it, claim it message. The whole point is in Romans 4:17, the Bible says that we serve a God who calls things that do not exist as if they already existed, and he speaks life to dead things and they come back to life. So that's how powerful your words are. You can speak life into dead circumstances in your life, and you can see the resurrection of power of God in your life. Now, you can't just say anything you want to say and make it happen, but you can speak the word of God out loud, and those words have power. You know, there's a scripture that says that angels hearken to the voice of God's word. They don't listen to our complaining, but they have to listen to the word of God. And we have angels that are assigned to us. You know, you have guardian angels. We have angels assigned to us, and if you want them to work in your life, then you need to start agreeing with what God says and stop just saying any little thing that floats through your brain. I'm getting some funny looks. It's like Mike's wife, Penny, we've known them for, I don't know, 35 years, I guess, and she's been sitting under my teaching for how long? Over 30 years. And probably more than anybody I know, whatever I said to do, Penny went and did it. And we were talking about this message, and she said, I still remember when you first started teaching about the mouth and the power of words and the power of confessing the word of God out loud. And she said, I remember you told us to write scriptures out on 3x5 cards and carry them with us. And anytime we had an opportunity, just to confess those things out loud over our life. Now, you know, she's working, mentoring a couple of young girls, and one of them said, well, I just feel silly doing that. Well, you know what? You don't have any trouble complaining out loud. You don't have any trouble gossiping out loud. So why do we have such a hard time confessing the word of God out loud? Well, because Satan doesn't want us to do it. You say, well, why do I have to confess it out loud? Because words contain power. What kind of a message, what kind of a meeting would this be today if you all came and I said, well, I'm not going to say anything. You know, you came because you wanted to hear what I was going to say. You wanted to hear what God was going to speak to you through me. And it's the words that are bringing the power of God to you. And when that, it renews your mind, and then it gets down into your life and it begins to change things in your life. God's word contains power. There's power inherent in the word of God. So when you speak the word of God over your life or over your children's life or over their futures, one of the things that I started saying when my kids were all little was, all of my children grow up and they marry born-again, spirit-filled men and women, and they all serve God all of their life. And you know, every one of my children are married to somebody that loves God. They're all in some way, shape, or form serving God in ministry. That makes a lot more sense than saying, oh, I'm so afraid my kids are going to fall away from God. I'm so afraid they're going to marry the wrong person. I'm so afraid my kids are going to get addicted to drugs. Let me tell you something. When you're tempted to say stuff like that, just ask God to help you zip your lip. And instead of saying what you feel like saying, say what God's word says. So anyway, I made 65 confessions, and every one of them, I found a scripture to back it up. I'm not advocating that you go around just saying, well, I'm going to be a millionaire. I'm the president of the company. That's not the kind of stuff I'm talking about. I'm talking about, do you want God's will in your life? Okay, listen, if you want God's will in your life, then you've got to get his will in your mouth. Matthew 12, 34 says, you offspring of vipers, how can you speak good things when you're evil and wicked? For out of the fullness, the overflow, the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. In other words, for it to come out of us, it's got to be in us. Floating around in there somewhere. So nothing reveals more about the real us than our words. You can learn so much about yourself by listening to yourself. Ooh. I learned things about myself I would just as soon that I wouldn't have known. The good man from his inner good treasure flings forth good things, and the evil man out of his inner evil storehouse flings forth evil things. James 3:2. If anyone does not offend in speech, if he never says the wrong things, he is a fully developed character and a perfect man, able to control his whole body and curb his entire nature. My goodness, he's saying if we can control our mouth, we can control everything else in our life. Some of you are trying real hard to control what you put in your mouth. And you might be better off to start first trying to control what comes out of it. Uh-oh, well, I'll just go on. You're not liking that one. Maybe I'll talk to these people over here. See, I can show you a scripture that says it's not what goes into the mouth that defiles the man, but what comes out of his mouth that defiles him. So I'll just give you an example. Let's just say that, how many of you have a problem with sugar? You just eat way too much sugar. Okay. Well, let me give you a hint. Don't say 50 times a week, I crave sugar. I just have to have sugar. I'm addicted to sugar. If I eat one cookie, I've got to eat the whole bag. If I eat one bite of ice cream, I've got to eat the whole quart. Don't say that kind of stuff. Because every time you do, you're just assuring yourself that you're going to keep the problem. What you should say, and I don't care if you have to start with the spoon on your way to your mouth. You start by saying, I'm not addicted to sugar. I don't crave sweets. I have self-control. I have a disciplined appetite. Now see, if you didn't come for anything other than that, it's going to help you. You say, well, I'm just telling the truth. I'm not, yes, that may be a fact in your life, but the truth is greater than facts, and the truth is God's word, and God's word says that he whom the Son has set free is free indeed. So don't say, I'm addicted to this, I'm addicted to that, I can't help this, I can't help that. And for goodness sakes, don't ever say, I just don't have any discipline or self-control. I don't care if you're the laziest person on the planet. I want you to start saying, I am a man or a woman of discipline and self-control. I can control myself.
Yeah. the words you speak matter, probably far more than you even realize. And if you're like me, this could be knowledge that makes a huge difference in your daily life. I know it has been for me, and it's not just about not speaking the wrong things, it's about speaking the right things. You see, when we speak His word out loud, we are tapping into His power to create change around us. By speaking His word, we can see wonderful things happen. Joyce is encouraging you to do it. The Bible tells you it makes a difference. So now if you just need more information on how to do it, we have an offer for you that will really help. It's Joyce's book called Change Your Words, Change Your Life. That title is so true. And as you dig into what God's word says about this fact, I think you'll see it in your own life. And it comes with a keychain. It's the Live Amazed keychain. So you're going to really enjoy that. Let us know right now that you would like to receive this offer. Coming up next, we travel to East Africa and see just how powerful the truth of Christ is and how lives are being changed with your help. The 40th anniversary celebration of the Love Life Women's Conference just got even bigger with a live concert featuring Chris Tomlin. Register today for the Love Life Women's Conference, September 22nd through 24th in St. Louis, Missouri.
Watch episodes of Enjoying Everyday Life, read daily devotionals, follow a Bible study plan here, 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 and here. The same great teaching from Joyce that you know and love now in the palm of your hand with the new Joyce Meyer Ministries app. Think of it as your daily dose of encouragement, right here, right now. Search Joyce Meyer in your app store and download the new Joyce Meyer Ministries app today.
God tells us in His word to be light in dark places. Now, you can't see it very well in the daytime, but when the sun goes down, this place is about as dark as they come. This is a red light district, and lives are being ruined here continually. Young, precious lives that God loves so much are drawn to this place or are coerced or forced or trafficked, and this is where they end up, where they are abused, where they are told that they are worth nothing, and where they feel that they have no value. But together, we can come to this very place and be light. We can make a difference in young girls' lives. As we do this together, we can accomplish more than we ever can apart. So when you've heard about the problems of human trafficking and thought, there's nothing I can do, that is simply not true. Through your partnership with Joyce Meyer Ministries and our Hand of Hope outreaches, you are here being a light in the darkness. Join us right now as we pull young women out of this location and give them the opportunity to know how very valued and loved they are and to start their life over. You can be part of it. Thank you so much.
We hope you enjoyed today's program. For more information, visit joycemeyer.org. This program has been made possible by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.